Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 9th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
9 MDCT youths accused of assaulting the party's former Deputy Treasurer General Elton Mangoma are acquitted by Harare Magistrate Milton Serima.
We are very happy that the 9 members of the security department at Harare's house have been acquitted now. They were acquitted on the basis of the video that was shown, the video which shows exactly how Honorable Mangoma was assaulted and who assaulted him.
It is harvest time in Zimbabwe and every farmer worries about weevils as they put their crops into their barns. Apparently, weevils are also found in political parties as revealed by President Robert Mugabe in an acerbic attack on Information Minister Jonathan Moyo.
I think Jonathan Moyo will look at this and say they have the character and conduct of President Mugabe in his sunset years and that he can ride the storm and get up from here. So I don't think that is the end yet. I would caution those who are celebrating from engaging in a premature celebration syndrome.
And some Chingwizi transit camp residents are abandoning the camp in search of jobs as conditions continue to deteriorate.
Harare Magistrate Milton Serima today acquitted and discharged all 9 youths accused of assaulting MDCT renewal team member Elton Mangoma outside Harvest House in February. In his judgment, the magistrate found that the video recorded before, during and after the assault clearly exonerated Denford Ngadzuore, Francis Mchimbizofa, Enoch Mukudu, Samson Nerwande, Stefan Jawi, Pio Gorokore, Shakespeare Mkoi, James Chidakwa, and Rhino Washayam. The magistrate urged the police to arrest the 3 individuals captured in the video assaulting Mangoma, the acquitted MDCT security personnel's lawyer and party spokesman, Douglas Monzora, says they are elated by the ruling. Monzora spoke with Jonga Kandemiri earlier on, saying the ruling will also prove that his party is not a violent organization.
Yes, we are very happy that the 9 members of the security department at Harvey's house have been acquitted now. They were acquitted on the basis of the video that was shown, the video which shows exactly how Honorable Mangoma was assaulted and who assaulted him. There were 3 people identified there, and those 3 people do not belong to MDC, and they were not part of the accused persons. Secondly, the other 3 witnesses who were called Tabani Mlambo, Lasson Julius, pardon, Mainga Ama, are all youth aligned with NDIBT and his group. They said different things about the same thing. They were so contradictory, they were so confused. It was clear that they were lying.
Now that the 9 are acquitted, are they going to take any legal action?
The accused persons have said that they spend a lot of time in prison. Some of them as many as 8 days, some 7, some 2, in police custody and away from their families. And they want to be compensated for the wrongful arrest.
Who took the video that was used as evidence in court?
It was taken by the security of Harvest House. In fact, we in the information department have heard it as a matter of policy that when there is a major event of the party, there are videos being taken about that event so that we don't argue about in the future. So on that day, I ordered that videos be taken about what was happening. Of course, we did not know that there was going to be violence. But when the violence started taking place, the videos recorded that.
Attorney and MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora in Harare.
A spokesman Jacob Mafume for the renewal team says they accept the ruling and will push for the arrest of the youths identified in the video.
The position of the court is noted, but what is of particular interest is that the court noted that Mr. Mangoma was beaten up by 3 people who were there at the Harvest House. And these 3 people were supporters of the MDC, and that these 3 people also should in turn be arrested once they are identified. So I think this process has been fruitful in terms of weeding out those people who perpetrated the assault on Mr. Mangoma. And we shall be following up on those people who perpetrated the assault.
Are you satisfied with the video quality and the content?
Well, we are not satisfied with the video quality or content. We did not make that video. The videos can be doctored, can be tampered with, people can replace people, and so forth and so forth. So we need it to be examined by experts. But what is important is that it was noted that at this point, Mr. Mangoma was beaten at Harvest House, and that those people who beat him should be properly identified and arrested. And I think that is the job for the police. They should be able to identify and isolate the people who perpetrated the assault on Mr. Mangoma.
There are also plans by the acquitted to be compensated for the wrongful arrest. Are you going to entertain this?
No, we are not the state. The state arrests and investigates and takes somebody to court and acquits them. So they can sue the state if they want, but the complainants are actually going to sue ourselves for the beatings that we received or our client received at Harvest House.
That was spokesman Jacob Mafume of the MDCT renewal team. Meanwhile, a Gweru magistrate today granted bail to Budiriro National Assembly member and MDCT Youth Assembly Vice Chairman Costa Machingauta, who was arrested last Friday on charges of raping a Midland State University student. Magistrate Judith Tarubinga granted Machingauta a $100 bail. He was being held at Wawa Prison just outside Gweru. Machingauta was ordered to remain at his Budiriro residence and to report twice weekly to Harare Central Police Station until the case is heard in court.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Most farmers in Zimbabwe say they got a bumper harvest this year, while the situation looks gloomy in some parts of the country, like Matabeleland South Province. Some farmers in Zichava near Midlands Province say they have harvested maize, which will last the next three agricultural seasons. They say the major problem now is lack of packaging material, like sacks that are not readily available. The situation is almost the same in Wange and Gokwe districts, where farmers say they have recorded reasonable harvests. They are still in the process of harvesting their crops. Farmer Chris Makwenda of Gwamanyanga village in Zishawane is happy that he has reaped what he literally sowed, though promising not to deliver anything to the state-controlled grain marketing board.
Some are even buying at 35 cents, so we are nowhere to go and sell our cotton. We are just saying, I don't know why the government is not giving us support on that buying of the cotton.
So what is the government saying? Have you actually consulted anyone in government about this?
Since last month, they are saying that they are still talking, but I don't know what type of talk about the prices of cotton. Well, they said it was 65 cents, but we are surprised now they are buying at 35 cents and 40 cents.
What are you going to do next?
Cotton is not continuable, so you just sell it as they want to. It's like it's chikorokoza. They are doing chikorokoza because they started long ago and we can't do anything because it is not stable.
So how much money do you want, let's say, from those people that are buying cotton?
Even 70 to 80 cents because we have school kids going to school. At school, one term is something like $90. So if they buy at 35, you need two bills to pay for one term for one child. So we can't survive on that one.
That was farmer Chris Makwenda of Gwamanyanga village in Zishabane, Midlands Province.
The situation is, however, not the same in Gwanda District, where some farmers failed to reap anything due to lack of inputs and other challenges at the onset of the rain season. At the same time, farmers in the Midlands Province Gokwe District say they are facing problems of marketing their crops and low prices of cotton, as one of them, George Moyo, explains.
Farmers are already harvesting, and this year we have a bumper harvest.
So if you are saying that you are having a bumper harvest, tell us a bit about the bumper harvest.
Yeah, we managed to get a lot of maize, groundnuts, sweet potato, and some beans.
What can you say about the harvest this year compared to last year?
Yeah, there is a very big difference. This year we harvested a lot compared to last year. Last year we had a small harvest because of rain, which were not enough, but this year we had sufficient rain to produce a bumper harvest. We can go up to 3 seasons or more without buying millimeter from the shop.
Are you going to take some of the maize to GMP?
Not at all, because I cannot sell my ton at $390. That is practically impossible.
How much are you looking at?
Maybe if it can rise up to 600 a ton, that would be better compared to the cost and the like that we have incurred.
That was farmer Chris Makwenda of Gwamanya village in Zwishabane, Midlands Province.
Just as a reminder to our listeners, Chris, before we go to the next story, this is a reminder to you all to please continue sending emails to our mailbag, your mailbag, on studio7@voanews.com. Listeners, you can also call our hotline +1 202 205 9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which we can play on air. The number once again for the hotline is +1 202 205 9942 and then dial 11 to leave your message.
And now we look at regional and international news.
A South African President Jacob Zuma has been discharged from a Pretoria hospital after a one-night stay for apparent exhaustion. The president's office today said that Mr. Zuma will continue to rest for a few days and will work mainly from home during the rest period. It said doctors are satisfied with his condition. The 72-year-old leader entered the hospital on Saturday for what his office called a thorough checkup recommended by doctors. The South African Press Association reports that leaders of the ruling ANC party had ordered that the president take a break and rest following a grueling election campaign. The ANC won this May 7 election, but with a reduced majority in parliament. Mr. Zuma was recently inaugurated for a second term as president. The presidency denied reports that Mr. Zuma made unscheduled visits to hospital in Durban earlier this year. It says those visits were part of the president's usual checkups.
The Pakistani Taliban has claimed responsibility for a deadly siege that killed 28 people, including 10 gunmen, at Pakistan's biggest airport. Heavily armed militants infiltrated an old terminal at Karachi's Jinnah International Airport, leading to a 5-hour gun battle with police and soldiers that ended early today. The gunmen, some wearing military uniforms, shot their way into a facility used mainly for cargo and executive flights before being killed by police or blowing themselves up. Several security personnel were killed along with 4 airport staff members. No passengers were hurt.
The The ZANU-PF succession race is gaining traction, with the two main factions, one allegedly led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru and the other by Defence Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, hitting the campaign trail and trading barbs ahead of the party's elective congress set for December. Now the men they are both seeking to replace is warded into the fight, this time going after a Mnangagwa ally, Information Minister Professor Jonathan Moyo, calling him, quote, the devil incarnate, accusing him of fanning divisions in the party and firing loyal editors at state-owned newspapers and replacing them with scribes who sympathize with the opposition. But as Blessing Zulu reports, lack of a clear successor in ZANU-PF and concerns about Mr. Mugabe's age and health are causing friction within the party.
President Robert Mugabe publicly dressed down Information Tsar Jonathan Moyo Friday, accusing him of working to destroy ZANU-PF from within. Mr. Mugabe made the attack while addressing mourners at the home of the late national hero Nathan Shamyarira, who was buried Saturday. In another veiled attack on Moyo at the National Heroes Acre, President Mugabe said ZANU-PF now has caught weevils in our midst and urged the party to take care of these weevils. Party Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa is alleged to have gone a step further on Sunday, urging Mr. Mugabe to expel court weevils and told party youths to spray gamma tox or pesticide to destroy the weevils. Efforts to get a comment from Mutasa were futile as he did not answer his mobile phone. Political analyst and board member of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Gladys Chachwayo, says she is greatly concerned by the language being used by ZANU-PF top brass to describe Moyo as it borders on hate speech.
The use of derogatory language, you know, by our political leader is really an unfortunate development because it incites violence. It mobilizes supporters of the different factions, the different political parties to actually fight against each other, and it must not be condoned. It is bad.
Party sources say Moyo's troubles began Thursday when Politburo members sympathetic to Mrs. Mujuru attacked him in a meeting for allegedly being sympathetic to the Mnangagwa faction. Political analyst and editor of the Zimbabwe Independent newspaper, Dumisani Muleya, says the elective congress in December has heightened tensions within ZANU-PF.
It's quite clear that Mugabe is frustrated by what Moyo has been doing, Moyo's activities in relation to the media, in relation to the politics of ZANU-PF, in the context of Congress. He is very frustrated by what he's doing. And why is he frustrated now when he brought him back in the first place after losing election? It's because the faction led by Vice President Joyce Mujuru has been complaining publicly and privately about Moyo's activities, how he has been controlling the media in their view to attack them.
Mulea's sentiments are also echoed by Australian-based former student activist Tapera Kapuya. But for years, the relationship between Moyo and Mr. Mugabe has been on again and off again. Moyo has fallen in and out of favor with his boss since first becoming information minister. He was sacked in 2005 after deciding to run as an independent candidate. Moyo was also accused of taking part in the so-called Cholocho meeting. The Cholocho meeting was held on November 18, 2004, apparently to block Vice President Joyce Mujuru's ascendancy to her current position. Mujuru, in the camp led by her late husband, retired Army Commander General Solomon Mujuru, only won after Mugabe's intervention. Mnangagwa had allegedly tried to outmaneuver her to no avail. Mnangagwa and Mujuru's camps have been locked in a bitter power struggle, more so in the run-up to ZANU-PF's Congress in December 2004. Muleya says at critical moments, Mr. Mugabe sides with Mujuru.
Mugabe has had to do what he usually does when faced with such a situation. His default position is always to end up supporting Mai Mujuru, and this is what he has done again. It has happened before in 2004, it happened in 2009, it happened during the district coordinating committee elections, it happened during the provincial elections, and of course it happened last week in the Politburo on Wednesday. So it's a manifestation of how Mugabe is trying to manage the internal ZANU-PF factionalism, but he is always choosing a side, and he's chosen a side that he has always stood with all the time because of the Congress that is coming in December.
But does this mean a final chapter on the Moyo and ZANU-PF relationship has been written? Magaisa says Moyo has 9 lives and people must not write him off.
Well, Jonathan Moyo is the proverbial cat that has many lives. He seems to He has had his low moments, but he has risen seemingly to the best in the past. I think he is having a very low moment at the moment. It's a challenge. Look, we are in a situation where, you know, this outburst by President Mugabe, even though they have been rare in the past, we heard what he said about Masimiria Mbwa last year. He gave a very scathing attack on Masimiria Mbwa, only to rescind and almost apologize to Masimiria Mbwa a few months later. So I think Jonathan Moyo will look at this and say, perhaps this is the character and conduct of President Mugabe in his sunset years, and that he can ride the storm and get up from here. So I don't think that is the end yet. I would caution those who are celebrating from engaging in a premature celebration syndrome.
On the other hand, the Zimbabwe Mail newspaper reports that ZANU-PF member of parliament for Marondra Central, Ray Kaukonde, on Friday tore into his party, accusing it of fighting for political power while the economy is dying. But Kapuya says ZANU-PF is more interested in personal aggrandizement than national issues.
Yeah, I don't think the issues within ZANU-PF have got nothing to do with the economy. If anyone else has to be honest about the Zimbabwean economy, that it's geared towards the benefit of individuals within ZANU-PF. And over the past, since the emergence of the unity government, it's very clear we have been benefiting from the economy. I don't think anyone else will look at ZANU-PF ever considers that the economy, when we talk about the Zimbabwean economy, we really mean ordinary Zimbabweans. The economy of Zimbabwe still remains benefiting those who are running ZANU-PF.
But when will all this friction in ZANU-PF end? Political analyst Jason Moyo, writing in the Mail and Guardian newspaper, summed it better. Moyo says the race to succeed Mugabe has, over recent years, provided entertainment and intrigue with its endless plots and subplots, shifting characters and scripts. But the long-running drama is getting a bit tedious, and even the keenest watchers now just want to skip to the end. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu.
Some residents of Chingwizi Transit Camp say they are now relocating to other places to look for employment to fend for their families as the situation in the camp continues to deteriorate. One Tamuka Chimuti says he has temporarily moved to a nearby township so that he can fend for his family as a breadwinner with a huge extended family. Chimuti is one of the over 2,514 families that were relocated to Chingwizi following the Tokwe Mukosi floods earlier this year. He says tents provided by donors for families to sleep in are prone to the cold weather conditions currently affecting the country, adding a lack of blankets and warm clothing affecting is also forcing many to abandon the camp. Chimuti spoke with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye earlier on.
The truth is, no one in there, out of all the about 20 or so thousand people in there, has ever lived the kind of life they are living right now.
What kind of life is that? Take us through what you experienced while you were there before you left.
You see, tents, we're talking about people who've been staying in their communal lands, but now they are pegged in something that even in Zimbabwe we could say, like some time ago, because it's food, it's not healthy. That's how people are living, staying right now in Murambachina. And it's worse because there are no bricks, there's no nothing, it's just tents. But as close as a meter apart.
What is the condition like in the tents, especially now in winter?
The environment is unhealthy, really. And before I left, it was like a disaster situation when everybody had to deal with the situation then. But right now, even since then I left, of course, just before you see the declaration ended. But at the same time, it's actually worse now. It was quite better then.
When you say worse, what do you mean?
People had supplies before. They had mealie meal, they had cooking oil, and things that were provided right through the government by donors. Now, right now, there is nothing like that.
When did people in Chingwizi stop receiving some of these donations?
I left before, but you see, since my home is there, I'm always trying to get updated with the situation because I have to take care of my home. But I think it's quite long now.
What are some of the needs that you saw before you left?
First, people need food. People need clothes. And then also, besides security, there's need for shelter. All that is not there right now. When we talk about blankets, about winter, even firewood is very scarce. This place, too many people, they can easily exhaust, and it's actually exhausted. They have to go very far away to fetch firewood.
How do you see just the general public helping?
I think people should leave politics behind. And people are easily going to die because you're not willing to give maybe good conditions. Now, let's just first, if we can manage life, then everything else could come after. And the situation right now is not conducive for humans.
That was Tamuka Chimiti from Chingwizi Transit Camp speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye from Ushawusha Sava, a place 30 kilometers from Chingwizi in Maswingo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-0010-334. Once again, 033-0010-334.
In sports news, step aside Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester United, Bayern Munich, Chelsea and Liverpool. Here comes the World Cup. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the mood in Zimbabwe.
That is the story. As the streets of Zimbabwe are a sea of yellow, green, red, white, orange. As Zimbabweans from all walks of life have venged in their wardrobes, the replica jerseys of their favorite clubs to put on those of the team they are banking on to win the World Cup. Even the barmen, barwomen, waiters and waitresses in most clubs have benefited heavily from the World Cup as sports club owners have purchased the replica jerseys for their workers, not one or two but many, as they brace for the one-month football festival. Shop owners will also be first to admit that business has been brisky, with customers coming in search of replica jerseys for different national teams, though Brazil has been the most sought after. Football follower Andrew Rodzi thinks Brazil will get a record fifth title.
Brazil.
He gave the reasons why he thinks the most popular football nation will take home the most prized title in global football competition.
Brazil got very young stars and faster, and most of their stars are playing for big teams.
Another of football fans, Tendai Mchena, also thinks the same. However, Rodzi shares the same thinking as many football fans that African teams will not go far. He thinks the best they can do is probably a second round outing.
Yes, if it can reach to the quarterfinals.
At the same time, Zimbabwe football fans have not surrendered their love for Zimbabwean football. Highlanders are still pegged at the top of the Premiership table on 20 points, one ahead of bitter rivals Dynamos and joint second Wange. This followed Highlanders' 1-0 draw against FC Platinum. On the same day, Dynamos beat Triangle by a single goal. Simba Stole missed too many glorious opportunities for the popular Harare side, but assistant coach Chaona Dia defended the former SuperSport and Mamelodi Sundowns striker.
So the good thing Simba was doing was he was getting inside the box, so we just hope you will improve on that.
Contrary, it was another bad weekend for Zimbabwean football as the Mighty Warriors were knocked out of the Africa Women's Championship after losing 1-0 to Zambia's Chipolopolo to bow out on a 2-0 aggregate loss. The Mighty Warriors' elimination comes hard on the heels of the Warriors' defeat at the hands of Tanzania, forcing a rethink on Zimbabwean football. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thank you, Michael. Just a reminder to our listeners, Chris, to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the hot issue of weevils and gamma talks. That's President Robert Mugabe.